Don't go into Gaza. Wars are not going to be won by strips of land. They're going to be won in the corridors of power in America and in England and in Europe. He said, you're going to have nothing but sorrows from it. Give it back to them straight away. People thought he was nuts. Do you know the security buffer it was, and it was extra land, it was the dream and everything or whatever. Today, was he right? They're bringing us to our knees because of Gaza today. You know what? Israel's suffering in the worlds of politics and whatever because of Gaza. You read Shlomo Rawlinson's book, Mechitzosom, you see how many times that he got dragged out of the mud just because of the Brisker Rav, all these people. And the Gedolim themselves had the courage to say, we don't know. Rav Aaron Kotler got up once at a Guna meeting, and he started speaking, and Rav Shlomo Rawlinson sent him a petek and said, the Brisker Rav doesn't agree. Rav Aaron stopped on the spot. He said, okay, but I want to hear it from the Brisker Rav himself. I don't want to hear it from you. So they stopped the meeting. He went to the Brisker Rav. He came back. He said, I was wrong. This is what we do. That's it. So where did we learn how to do that from? Also from the Gedolim. Have to wake up.
Well, my connection to the Gedolim is not that great, but I base my vote on my Rav, my Rosh Kolo, and my Rebbe. That's my connection.
Who based it on?
I know, but that's my relationship.
Of course. You have to have a Rav. But you have to have a Rav, and you listen to your Rav, and hopefully your Ravs. Hopefully your Ravs listen to the right people as well. No, but yeah, it was poshut. There was no one else to listen to. I understand Yerushalayim, a guy said, okay, I'm not listening to Rav Chaim because I'm listening to the Gero Rebbe. I'm not listening to Rav Aleph because Rav Bet said. There's also you wrong. The God Lador is the God Lador, but said, I can hear that. There's room for movement there. Aval, yeah?
We're dealing with a lot of people that don't listen to
the Rebbe. We understand that now. We have to understand. We went wrong. I'm not putting fingers at them. Klal Israel went to war. Klal Israel went to war in Yericho. And Hashem said, we mentioned this many times here. And Hashem said, don't take anything from the city, nothing. Yeah? Then they went and had a milchom in Ai and they lost. And Yeshua came to a Kodesh Baruch and said, what did we do wrong? Machatanu, where did we sin? If you lose a war, it's because you did something wrong. So what does Hashem say? Klal Yisrael stolen, you've been mefer, sabris. Klal Yisrael. One second, how many guys stole?
Two.
One. Ochon. Had it been two, it also been on. But one second, one guy out of 600,000 took, and Klal Yisrael now is... Read the Lashon there. Klal Yisrael, bunch of ganovim, bunch of lowlives, bunch of denigrators, they've mutinied. Klal Yisrael? So what's pshat? This says, imagine if a bocher in yeshiva would smoke on Shabbos. What does that tell you about the yeshiva? What does it tell you about the bocher? What does it tell you about the yeshiva? How come there's an avira? How can there be a bocher who smokes in the yeshiva? The avira in the yeshiva should be of such a level that no one could dream of smoking in the yeshiva on Shabbos. So who's to blame? The whole yeshiva. The whole yeshiva's to blame. One guy goes and takes spoils in Yericho. There's something wrong with the whole of Klal Yisrael, because the avira in the machane should be so chazak that a yid couldn't take spoils. You didn't hear what I said. Sorry, with all due respect, you didn't hear what I said. If what happened, yeah, okay. We need to go home and do cheshbon nefesh, not point fingers at other people. It's my fault. It's my responsibility, not yours and not his and not hers. I, as a yid in the shtot, have to ask, how is it possible, okay, that this could have happened, and I have to go to tshuva. So, finish.
Why is that not the same?
It's not the same. I never said you have to do tshuva yesterday. No one said anything. Yesterday we were talking about what's your connection to Yiddishkeit, that if someone would want to take it away from you, would you be prepared to fight for it or not? What a different story here. Yeah, I'm doing something wrong, because if I was doing what I'm supposed to be doing, what happened yesterday could never have happened. That's what I have to ask. The Brisker Rav Rosh Hashanah used to say, it's not the guys on the beach in Tel Aviv that have got to worry today. They've got nothing to worry about, they're not even being judged. We have to be worried. How is it possible there are people on the beach on Rosh Hashanah? It's my problem. Not their problem. It's my problem. Because we know. We know. We were given the Torah. We have the Torah. We know what we're supposed to be doing. We're not doing it properly. So we have to do cheshbon nefesh and work out what's going on. It's too easy to point fingers at everybody else. And that's just my own personal opinion. You have to ask people to know what they're talking about to get the truth. So I don't know what I'm talking about. It just sounded good, so I said it.
There's a slight leak in the cups.
So I better finish up quickly until you know.
Amen.
Okay. Yesterday we saw the Shlach Kodosh. Moidika Shlach Kodosh. Very, very special Shlach Kodosh. Ze Keli van Veu. When it's my Keli, when it's my personal relationship with them, then it's van Veu anivahu bedveikas. When it's Elokai Ovi, when the only reason that I have a relationship with Hashem is because of some sort of Messiah and some sort of theoretical connection, then it's Rei Mimeni. Adam Shechai, Umakaim is mitzvahs boire lelo makairiois velelo yachidiois. Someone who lives and keeps the mitzvahs. Because we said, remember, Tacha Shelo avadetes Hashem besimcha v'tuv leivlov. You were avoidas Hashem. The kitru gets clear. It's not that you weren't serving Hashem. You were serving Hashem just b'li simcha. We wanted to find out what's the nekuda. We could be getting close to understanding that now. He's makayim the mitzvahs boire. Without originality, without his own personal connection to it, rochok hu mimakor ha'chaim, he's very, very far from the source of life. Rochok me'Hashem Elokim chaim u'ba'ifin zehu ma'aber es achius v'asimcha. He's far from Hashem, and in such a way, he loses his life force. He loses his simcha. Chai pirushel ichyot mekori. What does it mean to live? It means to live original, to live. I'm having a hard time getting the word makoiria. Authentic.
Authentic's
the word I'm looking for. Yeah. Authentic. Genuine. Maim chayim hay maim hanoivim mim makor. What's called living waters? Maim chayim. Maim chayim is water that flows from its source, as opposed to stagnant waters. Raka she'adam margish ki avoides Hashem hi chayov, shezeo iskoi, shumakayim kesher chay b'nei lebein boirei. Only when a Jew feels that his avoidance Hashem is his life, that's my business, that's what I do for a living, that's what I'm doing, then I have a living connection with Hashem. Then he's connected and he's acquired the happy, the joy that's hiding away in Yiddishkeit. He can then pass it on to other people. He can pass on to other people. People look at him and say, wow, what's he got? I'd also like to have some of what you got. You know, like, what are you smoking, man? I also want some of that stuff. You're telling me, yeah, come learn Torah, I'll show you. By the example, and also, if he's living with that reality, with the simcha of the Tuv Levav, he'll be able to pass on to the next generation as well, because the next generation will follow him and copy him. That's not always true, by the way. We don't know why kids don't follow their parents. That's another story. But certainly, in terms of ishtadlus, we need to be able to show our kids that we be simcha in what we're doing. Otherwise, why would they want to be like you? No one wants to be miserable, so why would someone copy you if they see you miserable? Yeah, a lot of people demand the right to be miserable, because when you're miserable, you plot it from responsibility. There's a deep, deep yearning to be miserable because it potters you. That's another sugya. Yeah, people demand their right to be miserable. The reason is because it potters them from responsibility. When you besimcha, you know that you're responsible. You know you're going to get up and do stuff. So go back to be miserable and then I'm potter. Lo bali, lo fati. I don't know. What you tell me? You tell me. Once again, I'm not a sociologist. Once again, you tell me, is it easier for you to be miserable or simple? It depends, fine, sir. So now you've got the answer. It depends for you. What about the next guy? I don't know the next guy. Eisek sheyudi magish ki benafshehu hu yigale bo mo'ev chadash v'yizoymus makairis. When a person feels in his heart, that this is love, this is what he's busy with, this is his... So that he's able to reveal and be able to express it and to be od matzliach in it. Luma zoyz kashe adem makaim teure mitzvah zrak kemiloi choyvoysov ha-yehudim. When a person's keeping Torah mitzvahs because, well, that's what you got to do, because he has a chiv to do it, because that's what you got to do. Lelo lichleichis velelo chius de kedusha velo mekayres. Ve'enu chai. He's just doing it because that's what you got to do. Mitzvahs anoshim melumada. So there's no chius. There's no life force. There's no enjoyment out of it. This is malaf ki heim chayenu. Ve'nech shav le'ilen yovei she'enu matzmiach chaskol peiros. He's like a dry tree that just doesn't produce fruit. He goes through the motions because that's what you do. Get into a habit of doing stuff, so you do it. And once again, we're not talking about every aspect of my life. If you could do it in every aspect of your life, you'd be very, very great. You wouldn't be sitting here listening to me droning on. You'd be out there doing something big with your lives. But in each little area where you can find it, find an area and work on it. Slowly, slowly. How do you put on tefillin in the morning? Put on tefillin in the morning. That's just you and Hashem. There's no one around. There's no one watching. Put on tefillin. How do you put on tefillin every morning? Mitzvahs anoshim ulumada. Like you just got your first pair of tefillin. That first day when you just got your new pair of tefillin, how did it feel when you put on tefillin? I was a geschmack, looking at them and checking them and whatever. And a week later, I'll tell you even more than tefillin. If a person, God forbid, would wake up one morning and he couldn't see, Rahman al-Islam, and he spent 3 years going to every doctor in the world and traveling and going and tests and operations, whatever, and he couldn't see. Eventually comes to the Akara and he lo, I can't see, he gives up. Yeah. And he goes to bed at night blind and he wakes up blind. One morning he wakes up and he can see pitom. Yeah? Can you get the picture, yeah? How many times does he hit the snooze button? Not once. Nachon? He leaps out of bed. I don't care if it's 5 o'clock in the morning and he went to sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning. That guy leaps out of bed and he has a day like he's never had in his life before. How many days would it take until he starts hitting the snooze button? I think that's a bit negative. Maybe a week. Maybe a month if the guy's a real, you know, bala chorus of toy. But not much more than that.
That's how much he packs into the first day.
But you're right, the fault is, it's not going to take very long before he starts getting used to the fact that he can even see. We like that. When was the last time you took pleasure from the fact that you can see?
We don't even think about it.
Really. I'm not talking about our chorus of toy. I'm not saying thank you Hashem, I can see. We make the broch every morning, Pokach Ivrim, and when you say Pokach Ivrim, you thank Hashem a little bit before you say Malbush Arumim, you say Pokach Ivrim, you thank Hashem, and you can see you're very grateful. That's wonderful. You should do that. That's Hoshem. I'm talking about, where's the last time you took pleasure from seeing? Pleasure from seeing? Because we take it for granted. That's just in the basic physical pleasures we have. Never mind the deep spiritual pleasures we have. You walk out of, how many people walk out of Shacharis in the morning feeling like they're billionaires? How many mitzvahs you've done already? Do you know how much Olam Haba you've created this morning? You've done them at 7 o'clock, by 8 o'clock you are drowning in Schar Olam Haba. Just think about it. You got out of bed. That's not a poshut thing. That's a big nisoyin. You had this milchama, whatever. The arm is going, and then the yitzor is not. And it's a milchama, and you get out of bed. You say madiani. You do nagelvas. You say brochas. You come to shul. You put on tefillin, tzitzis, doraisas. You daven. You say kriyashma, another doraisa. You daven shmoneh esrei. How many mitzvahs have you done? You gave tztaka, another doraisa. You walk into shul at 8 o'clock in the morning. You're a billionaire already. And when's the last time you took pleasure from it? I don't know, this Yiddish God just doesn't do it for me. I don't know. I just don't feel it. Of course not, because you're not making an effort to take pleasure from the pleasures you've got. You've got the pleasures. Not that you're lacking the pleasures. You don't make an effort. That's where it's lacking. And the physical pleasures as well, but the spiritual pleasures for sure we don't take pleasure from. Anybody ever watch Rav Zelig Weinberg or Stadman Zinzan giving shir? I don't know if you were in his shir. You were in his shir for a while. Ever watch him give shir? Ever watch him learn Torah? His eyes were dancing with simcha. He would say over a pshat in a rashi that he'd probably said 50 times in the last 60 years, okay? And he would sit back and just like rejoice in the rashi. was amazing to watch him. Amazing to watch. You could just see him celebrating the fact that he was able to learn a Rashi. How do we learn? Boom, 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 boom. Another Rashi, another Tosfos. I don't understand, I do understand. Just stop and go, wow, I just understood a bit of a Rashi. 20 years ago I couldn't read Rashi script and now I'm learning Rashi's. Wow, that's big. I remember the first time I met Rav Moshe Shapiro, it was about 30 years ago. We couldn't talk because he spoke Hebrew and I spoke English. He spoke a bit of English and he said a few words in English to me, but we couldn't have a conversation. This morning driving in, I'm listening to Rav Moshe Shapiro and I understand what he was really saying. I mean, the Hebrew. I didn't understand what he was talking about, but I understood the words. Like, that's amazing. Look at this. It was like mamash, gewaldig. Stop and celebrate. Or just keep plodding on.
For myself sometimes to recognize my achievements, I don't want to like make a big deal of it. That's part of the thing. I want to recognize that.
We don't want to get caught up in the veira of gaiva in Achinami, you're 100% correct. And therefore we avoid taking pleasure in our achievements. Right. You have to be able to separate between taking pleasure and taking pride. You have to take pleasure because this is what Hashem gave me. Not because, wow, what a good boy I am. But wow, I was zoiche to this achievement. Thank you, Hashem. Don't be taking pride and pleasure. You ought to be wary of gaiva. Today, in this generation, sometimes we need a little bit of kosher gaiva as well. You have to be very careful because we don't understand properly the difference between anova and shiflis. We don't recognize that anova can still come in a person who recognizes how great he is. We practice anova as being shiflis, as we just lowered ourselves down to being nothing. Well, I'm nothing. That's not another. And gaiva, we think, is when a person recognizes what he really is. He recognizes his own greatness. We think that's gaiva. That's not true. That's where we go wrong. The secular definitions of pride and humbleness don't work in Yiddishkeit. Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble man in the world, and he had no problem saying, I'm the greatest Navi that ever lived. It wasn't a stirrer. He was fully the biggest onov in the world, and he could say that and acknowledge that, and at the same time know that he was the greatest Navi that ever lived. That's not a stirrer at all. That's anova. Anova is knowing who you are, but understanding that that comes from Hashem, and celebrating and having pleasure in what Hashem gave you.
Who was it that you said took the oath in court?
Chetzkel Avramsky, when they asked him, we want to speak to the greatest halachic authority in Europe. He said, you're speaking to? That's me. So the judge said, excuse me, but a little bit of humbleness, Rabbi Avramsky. He said, what can I do? I'm under oath. I've got to tell the truth. And it didn't make him feel gaivedi. For him, the fact that he was the greatest halachic authority in Europe was a matter of fact that Hashem gave him, and he celebrated the fact, and he was overburdened by the responsibility of that fact. He would have much rather not been the leading halachic authority in Europe and given somebody else the headache. What do you think, Reb Chaim Kanievsky doesn't understand he's the God of Lador? It was asked Reb Scheinberg, a friend of mine once asked Reb Scheinberg, I wish he would be others, why he davened from the Amud. Reb Scheinberg, not in the last years because he was very old or whatever, but whatever, he always used to daven from the Amud. So he said, because it's brought down that one of the Gedolim should daven from the Amud. Reb Shach's too old, he can't, he doesn't have the Koiches. Who else? Reb Elashev davens too fast, so he can't either, so it's left to me. Anybody ever meet Reb Scheinberg in their lives?
Yes.
Greater honor of your own father. There was nobody more honored than him. But he understood he's one of the Gedolim, they find responsibilities. That's a headache coming from the Amud. It's a headache. Anybody ever gone through a year of Avelis and coming from the Amud? It's a headache coming from the Amud. You're coming from the Amud. Why? Because one of the Gedolim has to come from the Amud. We're the two great cards, so the number three has to. What's the problem with that? It's the truth. Ah, that made him a Balgaiva? No. So you have to work very hard. It's not so posh. If you listen to Reb Nachman, Weinberg's 48 Ways, he discusses in many places. Taking pride, taking pleasure as opposed to pride. We trip ourselves up in Achinam. They are not take pleasure because we're terrified of the diver. You have to separate the two. Yudi shechayis akesha yichudi sheloim boira oilam buboiche biyadusoy mitoich havona. When a Jew lives with a personal connection with Hashem, and he chooses his Yiddishkeit through an understanding that this is the greatest pleasure there is in the world, he becomes unique. He becomes unique and authentic. He becomes very personally connected. He then has the ability to influence his entire environment. This rich, authentic person acquired has an enormous impact, not just on everybody around him. I'm sorry to keep coming back to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, but if you think about Reb Chaim Kanievsky, what did he do with his life that made him so popular? Have you been to visit him? You would expect that he was a lonely old man sitting in a corner, no one ever heard of him, you know, like the old reverends in the old outlying cities, whatever. These guys were Talmid Chachomim, they were putting ashalas and tshuvas, whatever, and they were the reverend, you know, they did brisses and shkita and weddings, and nobody appreciated them. That's what you expect from a punk. What did he ever do? He's a major orator? No, I don't think he's ever made public, he doesn't do public sharing, he doesn't give whatever. He made a lot of money. What did he do? He has a yeshiva, he's a mashgiach, he's a rosh yeshiva, he's a abbeistin, he's a what is it? Nothing. He just sat in a little corner somewhere learning Torah. That's all he ever did. And the whole world stovevs around him. It's the center of the universe, he's at. That's what he's saying. When a person does what he's doing authentically, connected with Hashem, properly the way it's supposed to be, with simcha, it's a magnet. People come. That's what it does. You see, that's the koach of Torah. We will come back to the Megayrin question. I just want to... I'm not finished with it. I'm going to trouble you.
Have a good Shabbos.
Erev Shabbos. Let's do this.
There's a minute at 11:56, a minute at 12:30, 12:45, 1 o'clock, 10:15. None at 12:15.